Welcome to the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. Hey, well, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. I'm your host, Jacob. If we haven't gotten to meet, whether virtually and via this method or in person, it's great to have you here. I am super excited that you have chosen to spend some time with me today as we figure out this thing called life and figure out this thing called every day. It's an exciting thing to have someone on the journey with you as you figure out what you are doing with your life. And it's great that you get to be a part of this with me and I with you. Now, I hope you enjoyed last week's episode as we talked about the idea that leaders are readers. You need to be growing. You need to be learning more based on where you are, especially. And you need to be figuring out how other people do things so that you can grow and do better in your area. So I hope you enjoyed that. If not, go ahead and listen to that episode once you finish listening to this one. It's a great one. And this week is super exciting because we are diving into the segment of this podcast that I'd like to call Things That We Should Do. It's a segment talking about habits that we should form, the daily disciplines and routines that we should make part of our checklist, if you will, of things that we should do throughout the day, week, month, what have you. But before we dive in, I have a couple of announcements for you. Last week, we talked about the fact that I have a book coming out soon. We've been talking about that and hyping that up for a little while. And I have some great news. Editing is going awesome. I'm super excited to be able to share this resource with you, this idea about problem solving that, spoiler alert, we're going to be unpacking in today's episode. So I hope you're ready for it. We're going to try to do a breeze by of that and give you the 30,000 feet view. Announcement number two, if you are listening to this, if you're excited about learning what every day looks like for you and how you can apply the things that we talk about to make yourself at least 1% better in your everyday, then make sure that you're following, subscribing, liking whatever your preferred podcast player encourages you to do in order to get these episodes in your inbox, feed, whatever it is, every time that these release. Also, if you are enjoying this, not only subscribe, but share it with someone. Get the word out and get more ears listening to this. If you are really enjoying this, which I really do hope you are, then give this a review. Share a five-star review, I hope, in especially Apple Podcasts and other podcast players that do have their review function. Go ahead and give that a little bit of love so that we can continue doing this and reaching more people with the idea of the everyday. Now, before we dive into the content and the topics that I have today for us in the things we should do portion of our journey today, I do just want to preface by saying this is, like I mentioned, going to be part of the forthcoming book that I've written called Work the Problem. You'll be able to find this on Amazon around Cyber Monday. Amazon has been so gracious and is helping me with the publishing process, and they are my publishing house, if you will. So I'm very excited to get this resource out to you so that you can enjoy it. So without further ado, this is the first installment of Things We Should Do, focusing on solving a problem. Think about a time really quick where you are going about your day, you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden, an unexpected, unplanned instance occurs. You lose your car keys. You misplace your phone. You burn dinner. That's happened to me before, unfortunately. You have dropped the ball on a project that you're working on at the office. Your hard drive dies. You have none of your backups. The list can go on and on and on about what these catastrophic instances can be, but nonetheless, we define them as problems. There are things that are obstacles in our way that keep us from moving forward and seeing progress. Now, what I want to encourage you to do, that this is something, this is a habit that you need to develop, a practice that you need to implement both in your personal and your professional life, is you need to develop a problem-solving process. Now, I'm not going to just leave you with this, hey, you need to do this, have a great rest of your day kind of thing. What we're going to do is we're going to actually present a problem-solving process that I have proven and worked and seen work throughout the years as I've worked in ministry, as I've worked in small business and coffee specifically, and as I've worked in service-based, customer-facing roles within a company providing support in the role that I serve in now. So before we begin and kind of unpack this, here is the five steps. It is a five-step process. Thank you, working in ministry, because it's all starting with the letter A, the five A's of problem solving, if you will. Number one, acknowledge. Acknowledge that the problem exists, that there is something that you need to overcome and figure out before you move forward. Number two, accept. Accept not only that the problem needs to be solved, but that you are the one to solve the problem. Number three, adapt. Make a plan, pivot, make some changes to how you view, at least in this moment, how to get through so that you can create a simple, clear, and concise plan where everybody who knows what the plan is can act on it without having to really get much direction, because there's been such a clear emphasis of making things known. Number four, attack. Press play. Work the problem. Follow the plan. Pivot as you need to in order to get back to the mainline problem solving as obstacles occur. And then finally, number five, assess. Look back at the problem solving process, the plan that you put into place, and figure out, hey, what went right? What went wrong? Did we adhere to the plan? What actually happened? And how can we change? What can we do with our approach to do better next time? So those are the five steps. Acknowledge, accept, adapt, attack, and assess. Now, what is a problem? What really defines these obstacles that come up in front of us? Now, if you think about your high school literature class, or maybe even earlier, I remember learning these as early as 7th and 8th grade, there are a few different main conflicts that exist, especially within pieces of literature and written works. There's person versus person, person versus nature, person versus self, person versus organization. Some people might even say against technology, person versus technology. So there's a lot of different types of problems and different ways that problems can manifest themselves. But really, there's three main approaches that you can have to solving a problem. You can ignore, you can observe, or you can engage. If you ignore the problem, it's pretty self-explanatory. You just try to find another situation to position yourself in. You move around the problem and you do nothing about it. Observe. You're still being passive. You're still involved in the problem, but you're not doing anything about it. You're letting someone else solve the problem, whether you let them take credit or if you are toxic and you do this, you might come around the other side and say, hey, I solved this problem, give me credit. And then finally, engage. This is where we want to be. This is where the problem-solving process that we have just presented and we'll unpack in just a moment comes into play. You have said, hey, this is a problem and something needs to be done about it. So this is where you work the problem-solving process. When you acknowledge that a problem exists, you get the details around the problem. Hey, who, what, where, when, why, how? Who is this against, or who does this involve? Why are we working against a problem? What's going on? you get the details and you identify the problem as a whole so that you know who or what you're up against. And that's pretty important and crucial, because if you don't identify the problem, then you will be fighting a losing battle. Sun Tzu famously said, and I, you know, paraphrase this, if you know yourself but don't know your enemy, you win half of the battles that you fight. If you know yourself and know your enemy, then you win all of the battles that you fight. But if you know neither yourself nor your enemy, you will lose every time you try. And that kind of moves into number two, which is accept. Accept A, that this problem needs to be solved, and accept B, that you are the one to solve it. Just like in acknowledging that the problem is there, we took a look at what the problem is. Now in step two, accepting, we get to look at who we are. And maybe this might be looking at your team and identifying the strengths and weaknesses that they may have, saying, hey, you are good at doing this. Hey, you're not so strong at doing this, but no matter what, I need you on this team, because we have been put here for a purpose. We have been put here to do something about what's in front of us. So accepting that it's your problem to solve. When we don't accept our place in this problem-solving process, and especially when we have a problem in front of us and we've already acknowledged that it's there, but we don't want to accept that we have to do something about it, or at least that we're the ones to do something about it, rather, then people have unmet and misplaced expectations of where they are in relation to what has to happen. Now, say you've accepted everything, you've acknowledged that the problem is there, which is where you want to be, then you move on to adapting. Adapt your approach and your steps that you normally would take in a problem and put them specifically to what you have going on in front of you. Now, this will take a little bit of effort on you and your team's part to try and say, hey, what preconceived notions, what baggage, good or bad, do I bring to the table? And how can we use that both for our advantage and for the problem's advantage, so that they, whatever we're facing, can be subdued and neutralized quicker? But also on the other side, how can we learn what the other people on our team, what we're working with in an operational standpoint, how can we take the things that we bring to the table and say, hey, that works, that doesn't, and let's be on the same page together? Adapting your approach means writing out a clear plan, figuring out who needs to be involved on your team and outside of your team, who needs to be read in, who needs to be aware of the problem solving process, and when your plan goes into effect, who needs to know what's going on? What steps do we need to take along the way? This is where you're writing out, hey, I need to first, the old analogy of how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I need to grab a knife, grab a plate, grab peanut butter, grab jelly, grab bread, do all the things. Write out the steps so that everybody who is looking at the plan at any given time, when the time is right to press play, they know what they need to do. They understand the steps that are involved because it's so crystal clear, and they can do the job that they have been called, brought in to do, and are created for, what that purpose is, what they're called to do in that moment. Now, when you're making your plan, it needs to be three things. It needs to be simple. Don't get too crazy with lingo. You don't need to be writing massive, multi-layered steps. Make each step one or two actions that you can do either simultaneously or immediately, one after the other. Concise. Don't get crazy. Make it short, sweet, to the point, so that it's readable and not confusing. And clear. Say what you mean to say. If you want to tell somebody to go left, tell them to go left. That's the beauty of a clear, concise, simple plan. What you should be able to do in your planning process and how you should gauge and measure how well you did is if I wrote my plan down, clear, simple, concise, and handed it to another team, they'd be able to do what we have set out to do. So that's you've acknowledged that the problem is there. You've accepted your place in this. You've adapted your approach. And now it's time to press play and attack. This is where the rubber meets the road. You follow the plan. You adapt. And you've already done some planning, so you know what it looks like to plan and make some changes to adapt your approach. So if an obstacle occurs and pops up along the way, you know how to pivot and you know how to tackle it and then move back to main line. Now, in your attack, you need to all be on the same page, whether it's you and two other people or you and 40 other people. You need to know what jackpot is. You need to know what mission success and attack success looks like. As long as you are on the same page as each other when it comes to what the steps are in the plan, how to execute it, how to deviate from the plan safely to attack these unexpected obstacles and transitional things that you didn't plan for because you couldn't, and come back. As long as you're on the same page about this, then you have no worries about what will happen in the as things play out. But really, the biggest deal is making sure everybody knows what each step is so that they can hop in as need be and hop out when they're not needed. Once you get to jackpot, once you get to passing the final checkpoint and completing the final step, you have worked the problem and you have finished. But that's not where you finish. You've done the problem solving and now you get to assess. You get to look back on your problem solving process. What actually happened? Write down each step on paper, what actually occurred during the attack. Include the pivot points, the things that you needed to deviate for a moment to get back in order to get back to the main plan. Write every single action down. Once you've completed your recap in writing out the timeline of steps, take your plan, your written out clear plan, and compare. How similar was our plan of attack to our written plan? Now, of course, you want it to be as similar as possible. You want it to be identical if you possibly can get it there. But since you can't plan for obstacles and random things that pop up that you weren't able to plan for, then it's not. It may not be 100% identical, but keep it in that 80 to 90% range. Then once you've focused on the plan itself and the problem solving that occurred, figure out what were some wins. What were some losses? Who did well? Who didn't do so well? Do you need to get ahead of any failures that you ran into and tell some leadership, hey, before the word gets out, you need to know. And that can also be for good things too. It doesn't have to be just for bad things, but just letting people know, hey, this is what happened. You need to be aware of it so that we can either celebrate or be prepared for the bad things that might come as a result. And then ultimately, wrap it up with a nice little bow. Write that recap. Hey, we did this. We ran into this problem. We had this issue come up. Here's our plan. Here's how well we did with the plan. Here are three things that we can do better next time with. You as a leader should have written recaps of each scenario that you go through, not necessarily to disseminate to your team or to your leadership. That is a great thing to do, though, when you get into positions where you're working for leaders and keeping them in communication and keeping them, read in, for lack of a better word, but for yourself, so that if you encounter another situation just like the one that you were tackling that led to this this outcome, then you can say, hey, I remember doing that. Hey, I've done this before. Let me look at the things that I wish I would have done differently. Or another team leader comes to you and says, hey, we're experiencing this problem. What can we do? Hey, I've got this written down. Let me share it with you if you don't mind. Written recaps can make the next problem that you face go by smoother without as many bumps and obstacles, and the time from stuck to solved shrinks. Now, This is a great problem-solving process. I've been through it multiple times. I've been working through it and applying it to every area of my life for the past almost 7 years. And I have not once found a situation where it doesn't work. So that's great information, but how do we apply that? Take this to your team. Maybe it's you and your spouse. Maybe it's you and your family. Maybe it's you and your work team. Whatever team you want to implement this in, take it to them and say, hey, I just heard about this process. I want to try it. Let's find a situation that we've been going through and haven't had the ability to address it yet. And let's apply it there. Try it. Maybe if you're working with a team, do it in your personal life so that you can bring results to your team and say, hey, this is how this worked and I really want to try and implement it. At the end of the day, whatever you do to get this into your standard operating procedures for your organization, for your family, for your business, whatever it may be, however you can get from stuck to solved quicker while prioritizing and empowering the people on your team, because that's what we talk about in step number two, accepting that you have strengths and weaknesses that are vital to know about and vital to this problem-solving process. Then you come back around in the assessing step and you celebrate wins. You can't celebrate the good things and empower your team, but also help your team grow in the failures if you don't have written procedural processes that allow you to record information and then do something about it. So that is the basic overview of not only my five-step problem-solving process that I've proven time and time again, but it's also the book, Work the Problem, that's coming out around Cyber Monday. That's the goal. And I want you to read it. It's not going to be a long book, but it's going to be a practical guide of what it means to practice each step, how to get through the step itself, and then what happens when you don't apply that step and don't do something about that specific option. So that is the five-step problem-solving process that I think you should implement. And ultimately, the habit, the thing that you should be doing, that we should all be doing, is creating rhythms and processes in our personal lives that allow us to tackle the hard things, tackle the obstacles that come in our view, so that we can get back to loving people better. Man, that was a lot of words all at once. So I know that was really quick. If you need to go back and listen to this episode again, I highly encourage you to, because this is something I'm really passionate about, if you haven't picked up on that. Empowering teams and empowering the people that you work with, solving problems instead of just running around in circles and talking in circles, and then finding a way to do it better next time. This is something that I have struggled with personally. This is something that I always feel like I will struggle with, because each problem is different and each problem is new. And even though you can very easily adapt this approach and this process to what you're facing, it's not going to be without growing pains. So I really encourage you to at least try this process once, especially as we have the holidays coming up. You're going to probably encounter a problem with your family members, and just try that there. Say, hey, this is not cool. Something's wrong. I know we got to solve it. So let's figure out how to solve it. And let's do something about it. And then, you know, if this comes up again, let's figure out how we can avoid this or at least get through this better. So thanks so much once again for listening to this week's episode. I really hope that you are subscribing and following and liking whatever you need to do to get this podcast, like I said, in your inbox and in your feed once it releases. Go to Amazon, check out the Work the Problem book. The ebook is currently available for pre-order. So if you are thinking, hey, I want to try this out, get it instantly once it releases for $5, you can get the ebook. And it's available right now for pre-order. The paperback and hardback books will be uploaded shortly once I get the book back from editing. But for now, you can go to Amazon.com, search for Work the Problem, then my name, Jacob Ray, and it will come up. It's an orange cover. So I hope you, like I said, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I really want you to try this out and share this with someone too. Hey, I hope you have a great rest of your week. And as we always say here, and I feel this more today, more in this episode than most, but your everyday really matters. The things you do every day really matter. So go win, go do something big, and have a great day. Thanks for listening to the Everyday Podcast. Don't miss out on new episodes dropping every Monday. Hit the follow or subscribe button in your preferred podcast player to keep up to date. For resources and additional info mentioned in this episode, head to the show notes to learn more. While you're there, you'll find links to our social media outlets you can follow to stay connected between episodes. Remember, your everyday matters.